Welcome back to the Rush Limbaugh Show. Brad Friedman of the Heritage Foundation in for Rush today behind the golden EIB microphone of the great Rush Limbaugh, who is out this morning, but he will be back next week. Delighted to sit in for him, and I should say I'm welcoming a lot of new affiliates tonight to the Rush Limbaugh Show. Today, rather, this morning, and it is a beautiful day. A lot of those Democrat stations around the country, a lot of liberal stations have finally figured out that liberal radio is no good, and they have picked up the Rush Limbaugh Show. So you might want to call your affiliates tomorrow and thank them if you happen to be in one of those markets that is now playing this for the first time.
Brad, this is not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
This is the Rush Limbaugh Show.
No, this is not the Rush Limbaugh Show. This is the Mike Malloy Show. This is not Tony. Stop it. Knock it off. Not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
All right. Hey, Dez.
Hey, how's it going?
So this is not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
This is not the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for ruining all my fun. I really appreciate it. So why don't you just go back outside, do what you were doing in the hallway. What were you doing?
Oh, I was screening the calls and running the chat room.
Oh, producing the show, were you?
Yeah, that thing.
All right, go do that.
Okay, bye.
That's the lovely Desi Doyen. Thank you, Desi. Well done. Good acting job. You can call her and talk to her at 877-520-1150, or you can talk to me, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, apparently, and muckraker from bradblog.com on the live April Fool's Day edition of the Mike Malloy Show. Mike will be back with you not next week. I'm here all week, and I promise to be a little bit more serious, maybe, next week. But until then, it's our April Fool's edition. If you'd like to get in on that edition, 877-520-1150, please stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, and you can find me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. If you missed any portion of our show, by the way, today, we will have it up at bradblog.com later, or over at MikeMalloy.com, where you need to be a podcast subscriber, and you should be if you want to keep progressive radio on the public airwaves, where it belongs, instead of those 91% of talk radio is right-wing radio, corporate right-wing radio. Not because it's more popular, not because it gets better ratings, but because the corporations who own the stations put on guys like Rush Limbaugh instead of Mike Malloy and Randy and Tom and all the other progressives on our public airwaves. All right. So anyway, I hope you forgive me having a little bit of fun tonight because the last 3 weeks have been hellish following what's going on in Fukushima. I have been following it around the clock. Things are, as I said at the top of the show, we will call them stable for the moment. Anytime I seem to say that, that changes quickly. And it is currently, as we speak to you now, it would be Saturday. Do I have my times right? 2 a.m. No, 2 p.m., I think. I can't figure it out. In Tokyo, in Fukushima, and that's when things seem to start happening on the Twitters. 8 quake damage radiation monitoring units at the Fukushima plant were repaired yesterday. Well, that's good. They repaired the radiation monitors at Fukushima. Nice. TEPCO had been relying on a car-mounted device, says the Daily Yomiuri. So anyway, I've been keeping my eyes on that. What is going on there is remarkable. We will be talking about it quite seriously, I'm sure, next week. Not a lot of new news in the last 24 hours out of the Fukushima Daiichi plant. Other than we have learned that the tremors exceeded the design limits for 3 of the reactors. In other words, they were only designed for earthquakes up to a certain point, and the earthquake that hit it was much, much worse. Keep that in mind. It was also only set to withstand an 18-foot tsunami, and the one that hit it was believed to be some 40 feet. So keep that in mind as they are now beginning to do a safety review of nuclear plants in this country and telling you, oh, it's fine. Oh, it's built. The one out here, Diablo, I know it's a half a mile from an earthquake, but it's built to withstand the worst possible earthquake. Do you believe them? 877-520-1150. They believed him in Japan, and look how that went. Their TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, is now recruiting workers for up to $5,000 per day. And they have admitted they don't have nearly enough radiation monitors, dosimeters, for the employees there to wear. So they're going out in teams where one person in the team was wearing the dosimeter and letting everyone else know if they had had too much radiation. And we're talking about folks who are working in water that was 10,000 times the legal limit for radiation at three out of the four of the crippled reactors. One of them was 100,000 times. I don't know if that's come down, but it was 100,000 times the legal limit. And that, of course, incredibly seemed like good news for a moment. Why? Because TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, had come out and said it was 10 million times higher than the allowable levels, and everyone beat a hasty retreat. The employees had to scram from the area out of the plant, and then TEPCO came back and said, oh, no, it's our mistake. Sorry about that. It was only 100,000 times higher than the legal limit. So rejoice. The Fukushima 50, as they're called, and of course there are now about 450 of them. Many of them have said that they are ready to die with radiation within weeks in order to save Japan. Heroes all in my book. 877-520-1150. Before I get to your calls here, an item that I know this is going to sound like an April Fool's joke, but sadly, it is not. Diebold touchscreen e-voting machines are now for sale on eBay. Yes, you heard me right. You heard Ian Murphy in the last hour. He had mentioned it because, in fact, we broke the story at bradblog.com earlier this week, and LA Times have now picked it up. But here's what you need to know. With these touchscreen voting machines now available, for the buy-it-now price of just $1,200, but you can bid any amount you like, and this is no joke, with 212 around the corner and these babies still in use at polling places all over the country, why not get one or more of them right now for your very own? With one of these, you too can learn all the ins and outs of voting, quote-unquote voting, before the pressure of Election Day when that, quote, vote will really, quote, count. Yes, they're great for social clubs like political parties or even terrorist groups. Why wait? They're sure to disappear fast, just like the 100% unverifiable votes that are cast on them. Because it's Diebold, by the way, you know it comes from a company that you trust. Whether you like to or not, you have no choice. And with bids starting as low as anything you like, this tens of thousands of a kind e-voting machine is sure to be a steal. I wish I was kidding about these, but these are actually for real. You can buy these, and you can use them, and you can practice with them, and you can figure out how to game the election before it gets here. They come from, by the way, Van Wert County, Ohio. And so, you know, they work at least as well as they did in Ohio. And he's got more than 100 of them, the seller over at eBay told me. And I've been trying to get comment from the EAC, the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission, if they're cool with these machines being out there for anybody to get to use them to, well, you can program voter cards with them. You can, I don't need to give you ideas, do I? Hey, Anonymous. Have you gotten one of these machines yet? I did have a word. Let's see if I can find it. I had asked for comment from the former Ohio Secretary of State, Jennifer Brunner, as well as the current California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen how they felt about these machines being out there in the general public, because years ago when I was able to get one from a source and we gave it to Princeton University, it was all hush-hush, top secret. These machines weren't supposed to be out there in the public because if you had access to these machines, you'd be able to use them to steal an election, and Princeton showed exactly how you might do that. And in fact, this last week, LA Times picked up my scoop, and thank you. They gave proper attribution and pointed out that Princeton hack from a couple of years ago, showing how easy it is to use one of these machines to steal an election. So I asked for comment from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission and from those two secretaries of state. I got a comment late today just before going on the air. From the office of Secretary of State, California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, who says, like many products, voting machines are available on the open market. Certainly, the Secretary of State's office is aware of this practice, which is why the 2007 top-to-bottom review approval document for the Diebold AccuVote TSX voting system adopted rigorous security requirements. And in fact, she did place, she actually decertified, the California Secretary of State Bowen decertified those machines, though she did allow them for use for disabled voters. And in a couple of counties, though she didn't allow the Diebold touchscreen systems, but a couple of counties still get to use those 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. For example, Orange County. In the meantime, these very same systems, Diebold, AccuVote, touchscreen systems, are used all over the country, where some 20 to 30% of the voters in this nation next year in 2012 will be using these touchscreen machines to cast their votes, even though it is 100% unverifiable whether the machines recorded them accurately or not. So get yours now. Stop on over at eBay. Stop on, we got the link, of course, at bradblog.com. Okay, when we get back, your calls at 877-520-1150. Some more comedy from the U.S. House. All of this real. All the news in this hour is real. Just to make that clear, since this is April 1st, and this is our special April Fool's Day edition, delighted you could join us here. Coming back, as I say, with your calls and some more news here and there. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us.
When you're gone, yes, I dream a little dream as years go by. Now and then, there's a fool such as I.
King of Fools. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Special April Fool's Day edition. Glad you could join us. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. And we'll be taking your calls in a moment. 877-520-1150. I don't want to forget to mention next week, Monday, I think, Hank Johnson, congressman from Democratic congressman from Atlanta. Or near Atlanta. Mike's Congress. I think it's Malloy's congressman. That's right. He will be joining us to talk about some news in the U.S. chamber plot. The U.S. chamber spy plot, smear plot, fraud plot to try to discredit progressive organizations, people, and journalists, including yours truly, which is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. That's where we sort of ended the week last time I was guest hosting back in February. That story was just breaking quite literally while we were on the air. And Congressman Johnson is trying to have some hearings in the U.S. House. And I think the Republicans are not making it easy on him. Also, next week, a lot of stuff. Tim DeChristopher, who has just been found guilty of bidding up a federal sale of federal land during the Bush administration, bidding it up to try to keep it out of corporate hands, a hero. He will be joining us as well next week and much, much more. Let me see if I have time for a call before the break. I do. Let me get to, people who disagree with me always go first. John, East Bay, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. John, what's on your mind, sir?
Oh, I just heard about the thing about the reactors and about how, you know, it could happen here. Just, you know, what happened in Japan and all that sort of thing. You know.
Yeah. Do you have a Are you on a speakerphone, John?
Yeah. Hang on just a second.
Get to your regular phone there.
Okay. Well, it is a cell phone. But let me just open it up here and take it off.
Yeah, that would be good. Oh, John. John, we're at the bottom of the hour, and you don't have your speaker phone. Come, John. Where's John? Did we lose John? No, we lost John entirely. All right, he's back on hold. Let's go to Jim in San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, so great show. And I want to let people know that on April 4th, you know, people are going to be marching in solidarity with the people in Wisconsin, and this is really growing. You know, the Tea Party had 200 people in Washington, D.C. the other day.
Yeah, like nobody showed up. Nobody was there except for media. Tons and tons of media turned out for like a few dozen people, maybe 200.
Yeah.
Because they're Tea Partiers.
This has got 600 events planned across the country right now. The website's a little weird. It's www.we-r-1-org. But just go and do We Are One in a Google or your favorite search engine, and you can find it. The other thing that I wanted to mention real quickly that's really growing also is the Uncut, usuncut.org.
Yep.
And we had about 40 demonstrations last weekend here in San Francisco. We had a sit-in in a Bank of America for an hour, and then outside. And, you know, you say to people, we worked hard all week, and we pay our taxes, and Bank of America, and FedEx, and a bunch of these other tax cheats, they don't pay theirs.
GE, you know, Exxon, paid no taxes. In a year that corporate profits were at an all-time high last year. It's absolutely appalling, Jim. I thank you for the work you're doing. Thanks for getting on the air and letting people know what's going on up in Wisconsin Monday. We're going to be following that, of course, with that election on Tuesday. We will, as you may suspect, have our eyes on that. Thanks, Jim. I got to run to a break here. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more show. Oh, what happened to John? Did he go away? I wasn't hanging up on you, John. I do want to hear what you have to say. Give us a call back if you want. 877-520-1150. To your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. And our phone numbers are 877-520-1150.
Yeah, we don't get fooled again.
No, we don't. 877-520-1150. Brad of BradBlog.com. In for Mike. I'll get to your calls in a moment, but I had to get, well, let's see, a couple of things. Some break news. Government, this has been talked about for the last few days, the Japanese government to buy part of TEPCO because of the nuclear disaster, according to the Mainichi Daily News. I haven't gotten to look at the story yet, but it comes from a reliable source out there in Tokyo. There have been talk all week about nationalizing Tokyo Electric Power Company because their stock has just fallen through. I think it's lost, the company's lost two-thirds of its value. And what happens when that happens to a company? A corporation? Yeah, the government comes in, bails them out, saves their asses, saves all the people, does all the heavy lifting, But of course, the companies take all the profits in the good times, or even in the bad times. Record unemployment here over the last year or so, and yet, best year for corporate profits ever. Some good news today from the Labor Department, sort of. Added the U.S. economy added 216,000 jobs last month. John Boehner's not going to be happy. And then this from the U.S. House Science. I love this story from Grist. Again, kind of goes along with our April Fool's edition, except this is, again, for real. From Grist, Jess Zimmerman reports, if you're a climate hawk or even a climate hobbyist, this graph should look familiar. And they show the hockey stick graph. I'm sure you've seen it if you saw Al Gore's movie. I didn't see it, but I'm familiar with the graph where temperatures rise wildly after 1980. Okay. So, if you're a climate hawk or even a climate hobbyist, this graph should look familiar. It's the warming trend over the last 100-odd years, except the guy who busted this out at the House climate science hearing yesterday was brought in by the Republicans to debunk global warming. The black line is his data. Ha ha, whoops. And it shows the graph you've seen before, and then it shows another line, the Berkeley line. This guy was from Berkeley. That it actually mirrors almost exactly the hockey stick graph with the rising temperatures rising wildly as of 1980 and so forth. Or actually the last 50 years, but certainly in the last 20. This graph is the result of physicist Richard Muller's project to get maximally accurate temperature data. Climate change deniers had assumed that his skepticism about existing temperature data meant that he was on their side. The Kochs were so convinced of this that they donated $150,000 to his lab, which makes it all the more delightful that Mueller is now all, quote, thanks, suckers. Here's the same data everyone else had. Okay, here's how he really put it. We see a global warming trend that is very similar to that previously reported by the other groups. I believe that some of the most worrisome biases are less of a problem than I had previously thought. So the Republicans were hoisted on their own petard, these climate skeptics. And, of course, they're not all Republicans, mind you, just most of them when it comes to climate change deniers. Their own witness said, yeah, those temperatures, they look pretty much right to me. Mueller was one of the only scientists that the Republicans bothered to bring in. Among their five experts were an economist, a lawyer, and a professor of marketing. But hey, Jess Zimmerman writes, when there are so few scientists who are actually on your side, you have to go with what you got. And evidently, even that doesn't always work. Well. 877-520-1150. Republicans making jackasses of themselves in Congress is, of course, nothing new. No new news there. 877-520-1150. Anything you'd like to talk about, anything that's on your mind, open lines. It is April Fool's Day, after all. Would you like to punk me? Feel free. Give it a try. 877-520-1150. Julie in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Julie.
Hi, I think you're... screener played an April Fool's joke on me, but that's okay.
Wait. My screener did? Desi?
Yeah. Well,
What did she do?
I tell you, I guess you know you're a boring call when you wait a long time, but...
No.
Julie, you'll be up first. You're the first call.
Oh, really?
That's okay.
Then maybe she did. I don't think she did that on purpose, though. No, and it's not a boring... Well, we'll find out if it's a boring call.
Well, usually the boring people wait forever.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
Sometimes we just get so many calls that we just can't get to everybody.
Well, I can't sizzle mine up too much, but I do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm kind of bored right now by this call, Julie. So. No, go ahead. What's on your mind?
But anyway, well, I, was on cold, I'll just quickly jump to a comment, you know, you're making. I have a problem with engineers because, you know, up in the upper Midwest here, I can't tell you how many 500-year floods we've had in the last 10 years. You know,
yeah, right,
they build
know.
The dikes that yeah. last for 500 years,
right.
you know. That's kind of worrisome.
Yeah. Well, you know, and of course that was when they probably, if we give them the benefit of the doubt, they were probably working from older data. I mean, as we uh-huh. have seen over the last year, 5 years, 10 years, the weather seems to be, you know, getting insane. The temperatures year after year, each year is hotter than the previous one, which uh-huh. is bringing record floods. You know, record ice melt at the poles. I mean, perhaps they really did think this would be a 500-year flood. Maybe 20 years ago it would have been, but now it's kind of like, you're right, an every other year flood.
See, I thought it might be a conspiracy, like, you know, the engineers, they're not stupid. They know how much money there is, and so they're just telling the people that are providing the money, oh, yeah, this will be 500 years, you know. But
it's a scam, you're saying, so that they can make money.
Yeah,
you are a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. But I just wanted to say something that, since we're talking about, you know, what's on our mind, I'm kind of worried, I'm kind of concerned that we're not going to have a grassroots effort to really go after the corporations as far as seeing to it that, well, I don't know, maybe they pay 0.001% tax, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about it because I read a few years ago that 77% of Americans are in the stock market through various financial instruments, whether it's your 401k or,
right.
you know, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, people might be thinking in the back of their mind, hey, I've got a little Exxon. I've got a little GE.
So they don't want to.
What do you think of that? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry, drop. There we go. You know, there is something to that, I think, for a while. You know, so many people are invested in Wall Street, in the stock market, that they don't want to see these corporations go south. But I think things are getting so insane at this point. They are seeing how corporations are laying off people, and yet they're getting record profits. Their CEOs are making record amounts of salaries and bonuses. They're seeing the country have to bail them out when they get in trouble. If you look at what is going on starting in Wisconsin, and man, my God, you people out there in Madison, y'all are my heroes. Y'all are absolutely my heroes. What you have been doing up for the last, I don't know how many weeks, months at this point, has inspired me. I formed an organization about five or six years ago, called VelvetRevolution.us. When it was in the darkest moments of the George W. Bush regime. I was going to say presidency, but I have a difficult time saying that. And it was to support community groups, folks like you folks up there in Madison, to stand up for yourself, to stand up for what you believe in, to stand up for what is right, to stand up for this Constitution, a real grassroots movement, not the phony Tea Party movements. You know, and you see how those are, you know, just falling away to nowhere. They have a rally in Washington, 200 people show up. The Tea Party doesn't exist. I mean, the Tea Party, such that it exists, is, you know, these corporations, the Koch brothers and those guys who have given money to a few people in a few states to prop up this notion that there is, you know, some popular uprising. The people of the Tea Party, the people who were fooled. Okay? You people were fooled. You were scammed. You were had by Glenn Beck, by Sean Hannity, by Fox News. A lot of good people in the Tea Party, and I mean this. I really do. A lot of good people went out there, were given a bunch of crap, were given a bunch of lies, were told that Obama was doing all sorts of things that he just was not doing. And mind you, I'm not crazy about a lot of stuff that Barack Obama is doing, much of the stuff. But he wasn't doing what they told you he was doing when they lied to you, when they got you angry, when they got you fired up, when they preyed on your best, you know, your best instincts, your best wills, you know, to want to stand up and to fight for your country, to be a patriot. You were scammed. You were made the fools. And it wasn't just on April 1st. They were and they are trying to do it around the clock. 24/7. But I think a lot of you people are figuring it out now. You're watching what's going on in Wisconsin. You're watching your rights being taken away by the government, as Scott Walker is trying still to do up in Wisconsin, to take away your freedoms in state after state. I'll be talking, I hope, next week about, you know, what Rachel Maddow has been doing. She finally figured it out. What I've been talking about for so long, the fact that these are not conservatives. There's nothing conservative about the people on the right. They don't want smaller government. They want bigger government. They want intrusive government. They want to be in your lives. They want to tell you whether you have the right to choose, whether you have the right to organize. That is the scam. You people have been made the fools. And I hope you'll figure that out, and I'll hope you'll join the rest of us back here in the real world. I, for one, will be happy to have you. Because there's a real fight in this country going on, and it's going to take not just Democrats, not just progressives, but all you folks in the Tea Party who were scammed by these people. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, 877-520-1150. More ahead.
And let you walk away. That's when they hung my name in the Fool's Hall of Fame.
I'm just a fool who really loves you. There is no greater fool than me. You told me lies, I believe you. How big a fool can you be?
Oh, there is. No one knows how big a fool you can be. Tony, great job tonight. Tony Sorrentino, the greatest engineer in the whole wide world. Great job with the music tonight on this very special episode of the Mike Malloy Show, our April Fool's Day edition with me, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Mike. I will, of course, be in all next week. Hope you will join me. My thanks also. We'll get to your couple of calls here as time allows, so hang on the line, 877-520-1150. My thanks tonight also to Joe Linehan, a.k.a. Rep. Jack Kimball over on Twitter. If you missed our first hour, you're going to want to look it up at the Mike Malloy podcasts. If you're not a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe, or we'll have a lower quality version for you to listen to at bradblog.com late night tonight. You don't want to miss that first hour. Also, my thanks to Ian Murphy of Buffalo Beast. Running for Congress, MurphyKenHasCongress.com, and it is for real. He is for real, if not Rep. Jack Kimball. Kimball2012.com, just saying. Also, thanks to Desi Doyen producing and screening tonight, and For Earth in the chat room for keeping an eye on everybody at the BradBlog.com chat room. My thanks, as always, to Mike and Kathy Malloy. If you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, by the way, stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. All right, very quickly, let's see if we can get to as many calls as possible here. Roger from Los Angeles or from Louisiana. I don't know. Hey, Roger, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, it's L.A.
Is it L.A. or Louisiana? Desi wrote
L.A.
All right. Hey, Roger, good to hear from you. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, this is the problem. You know, the mainstream media and also the so-called pundits, I don't consider them pundits, before the election they will say things like this, you know, there is no difference between Democrats and Republicans, it's a lesser of the two evils and things like that, except the progressive station where, like, you know, you, Brad and others, we should say there is a distinction between the two parties. The evil is Republican, the good is Democrat. Because I've seen all the voters here, yeah, I have some friends too who are real dumb. They say the same thing. They're no different. They're saying only when they take it on the chin, like they're taking it on Wisconsin, you know, states like that, then they realize there is a difference. But it's too late.
Well, you know what? No, it's not too late, Roger.
But
I know what you mean. And I'm not going to go to the bat for the Democrats here because they haven't given us a lot to go to bat for. The folks, however, in Madison, Wisconsin, the Democratic senators who filibustered by leaving the state, they have given people something to stand up and to cheer for. If more Democrats around the country stood up for the rights of working people, stood up for the Constitution, for the rights, for the freedom, for all the same things that the folks on the right were pretending to give a damn about, if the Democrats actually did that and stood up for those people, for working people, for their freedoms to organize and to make life as good as possible, then I'd be behind those Democrats.
Yeah,
I got to go. Not because I don't enjoy the conversation, but I want to try to get in one more call if I can. Thanks for calling. Let me get to Steve in Austin, Texas, just to bring us around to where we started. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Steve. What's on your mind, sir?
Great to hear you, Brad.
Thank you.
Your first hour segment with Representative Kimball raised really a serious question for the Republicans. If a child was born of two illegals, would that child in Maine need a green card to get a job? And if not, well, there's your anchor, baby, huh?
I don't even think I can follow that math, but you know what? When these guys, when you believe in nothing, when you're making up this crap as you go along, when you're deciding what the Constitution says at any given moment, boy, you just get lost into crazy land, and that's where
Amazing.
These people are, and that's why it's so hard to even spoof them. Steve, I appreciate the call. Good luck down there in Texas, by the way. There was a caller who was in favor of repealing the child labor laws. He was from Texas. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah. But I don't blame you. Stay safe, brother.
You too.
All right. Have a safe, a great weekend, guys. Great being back with you here. We're back on Monday with Congressman Hank Johnson, a real congressman. Tim DeChristopher, look him up. Great American hero. And much, much more. We'll see you next Monday. Until then, keep it lit. See you at bradblog.com.